Hi, this is Paul Chappell here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you again for tuning in to this podcast. I am very excited about this series, Power for Life. The series begins with the resurrection, but then the Lord Jesus promised after he ascended into heaven that the Spirit of God would descend and that we would be born again by the Spirit. And so throughout this study, we're learning about the power of God and the power of God's Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. I trust that this series will encourage you, will help you to have a greater desire to walk not in your strength or in mine, but in the power of God through His Spirit. So let's open our Bibles and get into today's message. May God richly bless you. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the infallible Word of God. We thank you for the privilege to meet here and worship you this morning. Please bless the preaching time. Help everyone in this room to learn how you want to enable us. Help all of us to volunteer to serve you. And we'll thank you for the joy of learning and growing today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Well, most every one of us have heard the verse that is near the beginning of your outline this morning, and it is Ephesians 5:18. And Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Do you see that on your note somewhere there? All right, let's say it together. If you have it there, let's read it together. Ready, begin. "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be Now, the filling of the Spirit, in contrast to being drunk with wine, reminds us that even as the drunkard is under the influence of something, God wants us to be under the influence of His Spirit. And I believe this morning that all of us should consider who or what we allow to influence us. The wrong kinds of friends are going to influence you to the wrong kind of life. The right kinds of friends will influence you to the right kind of life. The Word of God will influence you to the right kind of life. The wrong kind of media will influence you to the wrong kind of life. Maybe you heard, as I did this past week, about the family in Salinas, California, this past Friday, that took their little 9-month-old daughter outside the Walmart store in Salinas. And they were trying, as you would with a little kitten or a puppy, to sell their 9-month-old daughter for $25. Person after person went by and they were trying to retain $25 for the sale of their daughter. The police confirmed that Patrick and his wife Samantha were arrested after two women reported that Fusek tried to sell them his daughter for $25 outside the West Ridge Walmart. When officers went to the apartment, they found the parents and the child. The parents were high on methamphetamine. You see, when you're under the influence of these types of substances, there's no telling what you might try to do. And this morning we're going to see in contrast that when a person receives Jesus as their Savior, they are born again by the Spirit, and God's Spirit takes up residence in their life. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have within you? And the Bible teaches that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God wants to enable us and live through us. Now, as Peter wrote this book in the first century, it was what we might call a cyclical book, written to many churches in Asia Minor or modern-day Turkey. And as he wrote this book, it was during the Roman Empire. It was during a time when the Christians were suffering greatly. Sometimes they lost their jobs because they were Christians. And sometimes they lost their lives because they were Christians. There is no doubt in my mind that they needed power within them to get through the day-to-day life, power that was greater than their own. And so it was that God wrote to them through this book to remind them that He was going to give them abilities and strengths and gifts whereby they might serve Him effectively in that environment. And what I want you to learn this morning is this fact, that when God saved you, He gave you enablement and ability and gifts from His Spirit that will help you to live the Christian life, will help you to get plugged in and make a difference with your life for the glory of God. Sometimes we like to say that with God's calling comes God's enabling. God is going to strengthen us and enable us to serve Him. Now let me just give you an introductory thought about this so that we can all get on the same wavelength and understanding that God gives us spiritual enablement to serve Him. Look in your notes there at Romans chapter 12 and verse 6 just to kind of get the idea of it. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. All right, how many of you catch this right off the bat? God's giving us gifts that are different according to His grace, according to His strength. And He says some of the gifts, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, speaking of serving, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Here are some of the gifts God says He gives to Christians at the time of their salvation in order that they might serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe at Lancaster Baptist that every member is a minister. All of us are given the opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in ministry. And sometimes God will put some of His greatest gifts into a flawed container in order that when the work gets done, God gets the glory. Sometimes people might look at a bunch of Baptists like us and say, what a motley crew, you know? How does anything get done over there at Lancaster Baptist Church? You know what we like to say? To God be the glory for the great things He has done. He enables us. He helps us to do what we do. That's what we want to learn about today. What gift has God given you, and how can you serve Him more effectively? Let's dive into it this morning. Notice, first of all, the endowments of the Spirit. We're not talking about financial endowments primarily. We're talking about generally the gifts of the Spirit given to Christian people at the time of their salvation. Notice in 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, as every man hath received the gift. Now, the endowments of the Spirit are provided at salvation. Remember, this is a book written to Christians. And he says to these Christians, every man has received this gift at the time of salvation. Ephesians 4, 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Again, Romans 12, 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So we are saved by grace and we are gifted by the grace of God with divine ability to serve Him. These gifts come to us at the time of our salvation. Maybe you've heard that term, spiritual gifts. It's not speaking of the gift of forgiveness or the gift of a home in heaven. By the way, you do get that when you get saved too. But beyond that, God says, I want to give you an enablement or a divine ability whereby you may serve me more effectively. And so it is through salvation that we receive those gifts. But secondly, it is provided through grace, through the grace of God. Now notice verse 10 again. It says, as every man hath received the gift. And the Greek word there is the word charisma. And the gift speaks about favor which one receives without any merit of his own. Now how many of you would agree that number one, you don't deserve to be saved. That's the grace of God by itself. For by grace are you saved. Why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then beyond salvation, God says, I'm going to give you some gifts or some abilities whereby you might serve me. And while we focus on the spiritual gifts this morning, let me say that this speaks not only of the gifts like serving and teaching and giving and helping, but it speaks about using our talents and abilities for God. It speaks about living a holy and separated life for God. It speaks about forgiveness and hospitality. All that we do that is good is by the grace of God working through us as believers. And so when we think about these gifts, I want you to see three different truths about the gifts that God gives to us. Number one, There are different kinds of gifts that God gives. There are different kinds of gifts. How many of you noticed that in Romans chapter 12? There were several kinds mentioned. But notice now the next passage, 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues rather, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So we see, first of all, there's different kinds of gifts that are mentioned. And if you want to study them, they're in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. And we could take these spiritual gifts, and many have divided them into two general categories of gifts. I want to mention that if you're taking notes. First of all, you'll see here the permanent edifying gifts. There are some gifts that are permanent edifying gifts in use today in the church. We read of those in Romans 12, ministering, ruling, exhorting, giving. And it's a wonderful thing to see those gifts in use at the church and in the Christian life. Secondly, there are those that we might call temporary sign gifts. Temporary sign gifts. Why do we refer to them as sign gifts? There's a little hint in your notes. 1 Corinthians 1:22 says, for the Jews require a what? Sign. The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. And God in the first century allowed certain revelatory sign gifts so that people would say, whoa, this Christianity is real. And people would speak in a language other than their own, and someone would interpret what they said, and they would all receive a word from the Lord. And it was a wonderful phenomenon in the first century called the gift of tongues with interpretation. The Bible does say in 1 Corinthians 13:8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Now, because tongues were a form of revelation, we believe they ceased their use when the scriptural canon was closed. You'll not find any reference to tongues as you get back into these latter epistles. It was not a prominent type of worship form in the church. Why? Because the Bible now was being completed. And as Baptists, we believe that the Bible is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. Okay, so we don't have the Bible plus someone else's revelation or another revelation or another Bible or another book like some denominations. We have the Bible alone as our authority. But those temporary sign gifts were important in the first century before the Bible was even completed. And so there are many different kinds of gifts, some permanent, some temporary. All have been important in the local churches. Secondly, they are given sovereignly. They are given sovereignly. When we use the word sovereign, we mean that God is God and He is sovereign in His choices. Why do these things happen to these people and these things to these people? Why does one have the gift of mercy and another the gift of administration and another the gift of teaching and another the gift of exhortation? Well, because God is sovereign. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's His decision. Look at that in 1 Corinthians 12:11. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally, notice the phrase, as he will. So God superintends in the distribution of the gifts. And he alone determines how He will gift. But know this, everyone who is saved and seated in this room today has been given by God a gift. He gives different gifts. He gives sovereignly. And thirdly, they are given by the Holy Spirit. Listen, the pastor can't give this to you. The church can't give this to you. No one can give this to you except the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. All right? And so we see the endowments of the Spirit. There are different spiritual gifts that are given at salvation by the Holy Spirit, different gifts to different people. Now, how many of you so far say, all right, so far I seem to understand here in the scriptures in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter chapter 4, that every man receives this spiritual enablement or gift. I'm with you so far. Give me a raised hand or an amen or something. All right, good. All right, we want to learn something this morning. So we have the endowment of the Spirit. Besides forgiveness and heaven, He gives us enablements or gifts whereby we might serve Him more effectively. Now let's notice, secondly, the edification of the Spirit. The edification. Now, why does God endow you with the ability to teach or help or serve? He does that because He wants you to edify others in the body and to build up the body and to be used for the glorification of Jesus Christ. He endows us that we might edify or build up the body. I had a lady come to me just last Sunday after church, after the 11 o'clock service. She may be here this morning. And she's not a younger lady. I wouldn't try to guess her age, but I'm going to say 60 to 70. She's been a member for a while. And she said to me, she said, Pastor Chapel, she said, I don't know how, in the nursery, folding bulletins, doing something, but I would like to serve the Lord in my church. And within 24 hours, she received a call and we're helping her find a place of ministry. Why? Because she was sensing in her heart, she wanted to do something to edify the work of God and to be a part of advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You see, you could liken this to a musician with his instrument. And the fact is that we are living instruments crafted by a God who is the divine instrument maker. And He wants our lives to be used of Him to bring honor and glory to Him. And He has given to us this privilege in the church. Now, we can edify this body in two different ways. And let me share those with you very quickly. First, through serving the Lord. God wants every one of us to use our gifts in service. Notice in verse 10, please, once again. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. All right? Look at that phrase. Even so minister the same one to another. Let's say that together. Ready to begin. Even so minister the same. So God says, I'm going to give you a desire and ability spiritually. It is God that worketh in you both to give you the will and to do the work. I'm going to give you an ability to minister, to organize, to help, to teach. And now I want you to take that gift that I've given you, and I want you to go out and I want you to serve others with that personally. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now, church, let me have your attention. How many of you recognize that you are a part of the body of Jesus Christ, the local body at Lancaster Baptist Church, all right? And no one here is unimportant, and everyone here has a part, and the Lord adds to the church such as should be added. And God puts you here into this place so that together we might achieve more for His honor and glory. And verse 5 of Romans 12 says, we being many are one, and every one members one of another. Now verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And then he begins to say those gifts. Some are the gifts of ministering and teaching and encouraging and giving and ruling. He says, I want you to use your gifts in the work of the ministry to serve in and through this body called the local church. Hebrews 6:10, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And in this ministry, some will minister with speaking gifts, some with serving gifts. But it's just a wonderful thing to see people serving the Lord. I think about our men and boys camp out just this past few days. And I saw men up at the camp out with the gift of helps. And boy, they were moving chairs and firewood and helping out. I saw men with the gift of exhortation. And they were going to other men and saying, I'm glad you're here. It's good to see you here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And they were encouraging. There were men with the gift of teaching who were teaching the Word of God. There were men with the gifts of administration, organizing. Listen, it was everyone doing their part, and God bless. But sometimes I wonder, what if every born-again Christian in America figured out what their gifts were and got plugged in serving God? What a different nation this might be. And what if every member of every church, including this one, would say, hey, the Christian life is not a spectator sport. God didn't save me so I could sit on my blessed assurance, but God saved me and God gave me a spiritual ability to serve Him, and I want to figure out what that is, and I want to get involved serving my Lord. What a great church this is, but what a greater church this could become if everyone said, I don't know what God gave me, but I want to figure it out, and I want to use it for His glory, you see. I want to serve the Lord in my church. I think about our teen camp tomorrow. You know, it takes a lot of people exercising their gifts to take teenagers to camp. It also takes a lot of drugs and not that. takes a lot of sedatives. But you know, to take 500 teenagers to camp, think about that. Someone's got to put oil in the bus, and someone's got to drive the bus, and someone's got to pack the bus. It takes a lot of servants, doesn't it? Someone's got to organize the program and make sure that the time schedule is kept. And there's got to be some mercy showers to pray with the young lady who's crying at the altar. There's got to be someone exhorting the teenager whose dad just left home and he's not sure he wants to go on anymore. There's got to be someone teaching the Word of God to build up the teenagers to abstain from physical lust and to live for God. I'm just saying, it's going to take a small army of spiritual leaders who are knowing what their gifts are and using their gifts for those kids to have a great week of camp. You see, God gives us these divine enablements that we might use them individually, one-on-one, helping others in the body of Christ. And congregationally, Ephesians 4 says that Jesus gives some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so it is through service, as you get plugged in and as I get plugged in and as we serve, then the body is edified as members are serving according to their giftedness and according to the will of God. But not only is there service mentioned, but secondly, I want you to see it is through our stewardship. Through our stewardship. Now, notice, if you will, verse 10 of our text, 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Watch this. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. All right? Let's say that phrase together. As good stewards. Say it again. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, a steward is someone who takes care of the gifts, someone who takes care of the things of another, a manager of household affairs. God says, I'm going to give you some gifts. I'm going to give you the gift of serving, the gift of helping, the gift of giving. God says, I want you to serve me with these gifts, and I want you to be a good steward of these gifts. If you had the vaccine for a disease and kept it in your closet at home, you would not be a good steward of that vaccine. And God says, I have given you abilities to serve, but I want you, according to verse 10, to be good stewards of that grace. Those gifts that I give you. God says, I'm going to put some things into your hands. I'm going to give you some time, some talent, some treasure. And God says, I want you to take this and I want you to use it. Now, friend, if I take the gifts of God and if I sit on those gifts and I'm not using them, I'm not a wise steward. If you have the ability to help a children's class or sing in the choir or help the missionary or teach or drive the bus, and God said, here, I've given you these desires and abilities, but you're sitting on them, then you are hindering the great things that God wants to do. God says, I don't want you to waste what I've given you. I want you to be a wise steward. And God has given you abilities that He intends to be used for the advancement of His kingdom. And I challenge you this morning as a church, don't waste your spiritual enablements. 1 Corinthians 4 is in your notes. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Friend, when you begin to discover your spiritual gifts, and we'll help you with that, and you begin to use those for the Lord, be faithful with those. Don't hide it under a bush. Don't put it away, but use your abilities given by God for the glory of God. Be a steward of it. I heard a story of a pig and a hen who were walking down the road. They saw a poster for the church fellowship. The church was going to have a potluck, a harvest supper, and it said, "Don't miss it. We're going to have eggs and ham at the potluck. It's going to be great." And the hen said to the pig, "Isn't that nice that we can help the pastor out with the potluck?" And the pig replied to the hen, he said, "Well, it's nice for you because you're making a contribution, but I'm making a sacrifice." Now, somewhere between contribution and sacrifice is where every one of us ought to be living. Saying, "Lord, you've been good to me. You've saved me. And Lord, you've given me the ability to talk to kids, or the ability to make some money, or the ability to organize some things, or the ability to help widows in the nursing home. And God, I'm not going to stay at home with my remote control, squandering the abilities that you've given to me. But God, I want to take my spiritual gifts and I want to be a part of the body of Christ, the local church. And I want to be a part of what you've called me to do. Not living for myself, but living for your kingdom and for your glory." God says, "Hey, I'm going to provide the raw material, but you've got to do something with it. I want you to be involved." The average church is like a football game. 50,000 screaming fans, badly in need of exercise, watching 22 players on the field, badly in need of rest. My friend, we believe at Lancaster Baptist Church that every member should be a minister. Everyone should get involved. The endowments of the Spirit, these are the gifts. The edification of the Spirit. When everyone gets plugged in with their gift, then the church is edified. But notice, finally, the exaltation of the Spirit. Now, why do we do all of these things through the spiritual gifts? Why do we get involved? It's because we want to exalt and lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to our text, 1 Peter 4:11. "If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God," speaking of the Word of God. "If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability of God, which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, how can we exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Notice, first of all, we must minister in the power of Christ. We must minister in the power of Christ. Our theme this year, by His Spirit, power for life, power for ministry. Where does it come? It comes from God. Notice that in verse 11. "If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth." You see, it's Jesus Christ living through me. It's not by strength. It's not by power. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And the ministry that must take place in this church must take place by the Spirit of God working with us and through us. And thus we labor with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9, "For we are laborers together with God." And we labor through the power of God. It is only by His strength that we can labor. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." You say, "Pastor, I can't go on. I can't teach a class. I can't work in the nursery. I can't do some of these things. I can show up when I can show up." No, I'm going to give you the Bible answer to your thought and your question. And the Bible answer is this: I can, not I can't. I can. God gave you an ability to serve, then you can use it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I was thinking this past week, as I often go back on memory row and memory lane during this time of year. Next 2 weeks from today, we celebrate our 24th year of ministry here. And I think back often to those first days and weeks and months. And I remember that second service as I stood to preach. That's a picture of me right there, the man in the middle with all the hair. And I think back to those early days and 12 and 15 and 20 people and 30 and 40 people. And I'm going to tell you honestly, for 16 months, just going out knocking on 500 doors a week and trying to get people to come and tell people about Jesus Christ, no staff, no salary, not even a coffee pot at the church. Nothing. Most of you, if you would have visited Lancaster Baptist Church in 1986, you would not have been impressed. You would have found a young preacher trying to learn how to preach. You would have seen the preacher's wife teaching the nursery through the sixth grade in Sunday school. You would have seen a few other groups renting the building where we were meeting. You would have heard the music. Sometimes we had a piano. Sometimes we had taped music. Sometimes we had no accompaniment. But it was always good because I was leading the singing. But you may not have been too impressed with it. The fact of the matter is that there wasn't a whole lot, humanly speaking, that was impressive. But greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. There was something happening in our hearts. There was a young couple and a few families that began to join us who said, we'd like to figure out how we can serve. Well, I can paint, and well, I can tithe, and well, I can plant some plants, and I can fix a bus, and I can drive a bus. And one by one, people began to minister in the power of God, and God began to do something in this church. And as we minister in His power, the result is we magnify His name. And the Bible says in verse number 11 that Jesus Christ may be glorified. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. To Jude in verse 25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Listen, when we minister in the power of God, we will magnify the name of God. And I think it's a wonderful thing when people can drive by and say, look at the Baptists. They're building another building. They're having another special day. I heard about people coming and their lives being changed, and an alcoholic whose life got changed. Listen, just at the camp out just yesterday, after the preaching time, there was one man who came up and laid down some cigarettes, and another man laid down some alcohol. God was changing lives. That was just Brother First and Brother Smith, by the way. There are a lot of other decisions too. But I'm telling you right now, even at the camp out just in the last few days, there were some lives being changed. Let me tell you what happens when that takes place. God gets glory. God gets the glory. On December 22nd, 1899, evangelist D.L. Moody was on his deathbed. As D.L. Moody lay there, he was sharing with a friend his testimony. D.L. Moody was a common man, saved by the uncommon grace of God. He was saved in the back room of his shoe store where he sold shoes, led to Christ by a Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball. Moody told how that after he was saved, he wanted to tell others, and so he began to invite boys to come that he might tell them about Jesus Christ and what he was learning from the Bible. And there were at first 18 raggedy little boys who came to his class. But after 2 years of loving people and going out on the streets and telling people about Jesus, 2 years later there were 1,500 boys in his Sunday school. 1,500 boys hearing about Jesus. From there, God began to bless Mr. Moody in America and Europe, and he established the schools there in Massachusetts and raised up the buildings in Chicagoland, and he established the girls' home and the boys' home, and he had the great Moody Church in Chicago, and literally millions and millions of people heard this man as he stood to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as he lay on his deathbed, he told the story to his friend. And then he closed his story with these words placed in your notes this morning. If God be your partner, make your plans big. If God be your partner, make your plans big. The day that Jesus saved you is the day that God became your partner, my friend. And He gave you gifts and abilities, and He wants to give you dreams to do great things for Him. In a few weeks, we celebrate our 24th year and begin our 25th year of ministry. And we say, this is the Lord's doing, and great things He hath done. This auditorium was full in the first service and in the second service, and Sunday school classes all over the campus, and lives are being touched and changed. But I want to tell you something. There are greater works than these yet to be done. And in this room right now this morning are the resources, the gifts, and the abilities to do a greater work for God. If every one of us would say, Lord, what did you give me? How do you want to use me? How can I be involved?
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.